Grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is from our gospel lesson, Matthew chapter 14, Jesus feeding 5,000 plus, right? It says 5,000 men, not counting the women and the children, so many, many people out there to listen to the Lord teach all day long. Toward the end of the day, they're getting hungry, and they don't have enough. And the Lord performs a miracle. Here's a fun thing to know about this miracle. This is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels. There's many miracles that are in Matthew and Mark, but not Luke and John, right? Or they're in Luke and Matthew, but not Mark, right? So one miracle is in all four Gospels, and it's this one. I've often sort of wondered, all the miracles that Jesus did, what was the thing about this one, right? So we want to look at this wonderful text. And I'm going to steal a phrase from theologians, not my phrase. I didn't invent this. But I want us to kind of wrap our head around it this way. Theologians will often say that wherever Jesus is, there's a breaking in of the kingdom of God. I want us to hear those words, like a breaking in of the kingdom of God. So he's in this place or that place or that place, and where he is, there's like a glimpse, right, that this is what the kingdom of God is like. Now, we want to unpack that, but just to show you what I mean. Imagine Jesus walking along the road, and he comes across a funeral procession. A widow is laying to rest her only son. What's he going to do? He's going to raise the boy to say that in the kingdom of God, there's no death. You see the point, right? There is death out and around, but where Jesus is, he says, not here. The kingdom of heaven. Jesus comes across a man, the Bible says, blind from the day he was born. What's he going to do? Give him sight to say that in the kingdom of God, there's no blindness. Now, we want to kind of have that in our mind, that where Jesus is, the kingdom of God breaks in, the kingdom of God discloses itself. And you might remember that the last 3 weeks we've been looking at parables about the kingdom of heaven. And in those texts you learn that the kingdom of heaven is first and foremost people, but the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is also the reign of God and what it looks like to be right with him and part of his people. Now, you might say, but if you said breaking in, that means there's something else. There's the breaking in of the kingdom of God, but there's something distinct from the kingdom of God. And I want to use these words particularly, and here's the concept I want us to have. And that is this present age. Everybody have that? This present age. That is also not a Pastor Walt phrase. I'm getting this from St. Paul. 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 20, he's talking about the world. He says, where's the wise person? Where's the teacher of the law? Where's the philosopher of this age? You see what he's saying? This age, the way things are in the world and right now, as distinct from the kingdom of God. So kingdom of God, this present age. Paul says the same thing again in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, we don't speak the wisdom of the world, but he says this, 1 Corinthians 2, 6. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, there's the phrase again, or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. You hear it? This age, the way things typically go. Now, the reason I wanted to mention that is I want to look at, before we get to our gospel lesson, I want to look at a couple passages that precede it. And I say precede it because, as you know, the last 3 weeks we've been in Matthew 13, 3 weeks in a row, reading through Matthew 13. But here's the funny thing, we didn't read all of Matthew 13. We skipped a bit. And then this morning's gospel lesson didn't start at 14:1. It started at chapter 14, verse 13. You see how occasionally they skip. I don't know about you, but occasionally I wonder, what did we skip, right? So bear this in mind. Matthew 13, Jesus has preached 7 parables about the kingdom of heaven. And then what's the very next thing that happens? If you have a Bible, you can go there. Matthew chapter 13, verse 53. When Jesus had finished these parables, he moved on from there. That means he went to his hometown of Nazareth. And when he got there, everybody said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers and his sisters here with us? Here's what's going on. Jesus, who has taught the wonderful message of God, gets to his hometown and they reject him. You hear what they're saying? Aren't his brothers and sisters here? They're saying, didn't we grow up with this guy? And they reject the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. What would you call that? I would call that this age, right? That's this present age. The gospel gets proclaimed in the world. Some people believe it, thanks be to God, and some don't. This present age. Now, that's in the text that Jesus has taught wonderful things, and many people reject it. But in Matthew 14, beginning of the first verse, it gets even worse. If you have a Bible and you've turned there, you already know what it says. The section heading tells you everything you need to know. John the Baptist beheaded. John the Baptist is a faithful preacher and teacher, right? He's the one who was the forerunner for the Messiah. John the Baptist, here's the fun thing to know. John the Baptist was arrested because he had said that the governor was leading an immoral lifestyle. The governor didn't care for that sermon. Arrested John and later executed him. You see what's going on? The beautiful teaching of Jesus, kingdom of heaven, he's rejected at Nazareth. John the Baptist is beheaded. Do you see what the Bible is doing? It's showing us this present age. I think that's why this gospel lesson that we had this morning, why the feeding of the 5,000 really kind of caught them off guard, why they loved it so much, because they've seen what this age is about. And now they've seen the working of the Lord Jesus. Matthew 14, 13 and following, this great passage. Jesus is in a remote place. It doesn't say he's in the desert. He's in the north of the country. He's near the Sea of Galilee. But they are out in a wide open field. They're near the towns. I love this about this. Jesus, if you notice at the beginning, it says, when Jesus heard what happened, he withdrew. Heard what? The execution of John, right? See how it fits together. Heard the execution of John the Baptist. He decided to withdraw to a private place. Jesus wants to get to himself for a little bit. And here's the funny thing. All of us from time to time feel tired and busy, and we think, I don't need anybody bothering me today. And the crowds followed him, and the Bible says he had compassion on them, and he taught them. Late in the day, the disciples say, we're out in the middle of a field. Jesus, you've been teaching all day. By the way, a lot of preachers attack the disciples too much. I don't think they're saying, get rid of the people. I think they're saying, these people need to go get something to eat. And what does Jesus do? You feed them. I love what they do. They take an inventory right away. What do they got? 5 loaves, 2 fish, and just like them, the church has ever since said what? We don't have enough. That's the way it is, right? We always think about our inadequacies. We think about the resources we don't have. We think about the resources we wish we had. And they say, Jesus, we have 5 loaves of bread, 2 fishes. We're never going to feed all these people. And Jesus says, what? What you do have, bring to me. And then he breaks it. Breaks it again, and he multiplies it, right? Multiplies it and feeds all those people. It's a miracle. It's a miracle of his creative power. I want us to know this. There are Bible critics out there who say that Jesus did not perform a miracle. They say that Jesus had taught them all about sharing. That's completely false. I don't know why people have to naturalize the text all the time. The creative power of our God in the flesh multiplied these things, fed all these people, 5,000 plus, and drew up 12 baskets left over. It's a great miracle, and I think that's why they thought of it so much. They looked at Jesus and got who he is and what he does. Now, the challenge for believers is this. Most of the time, where do we live? Most of the time, we live in this present age. Does anybody not clear on that, right? Most of the time, you go from this place, you visit a doctor and you have a serious diagnosis, and that's this present age. And we'll wonder, why, God? Why didn't that happen? The answer is because we do live in this present age. Or the economy can be rough and someone's job is insecure. That's a sign of this present age. Or we lay to rest a loved one and we very fervently prayed, Lord, why, right? A lot of the life of a believer is lived in this present age. There's interruptions of the kingdom, right? Where Jesus is, the kingdom of God breaks in little moments, right? A lot of your life is this present age, and sometimes, thanks be to God, the kingdom of God breaks in. Now, I say it breaks in because you need to know this. This is not the kingdom right here. Did you know South Carolina is not the kingdom? I am very, by the way, it's great to live in South Carolina, except for July and August. In July and August, South Carolina is more a warning about where you don't want to spend eternity. But the kingdom does break in. Last night, when a little boy was at this font, isn't that the kingdom of God? The grace of God adopting another one into the family. In a few more moments, you will gather at this altar, Christians kneeling before the altar of the church to receive the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and that's a kingdom moment. It really is. We enjoy that. And yes, we've laid to rest a loved one, and then you come to church and somebody hugs you and says, I love you, and you're in my prayers. That's the kingdom, isn't it? That's Jesus present among us. We live both those lives. That's what it's like to be a Christian. So much of our life. You turn on the television and you're reminded, yep, we live in this present age. And then some of you go out to lunch together with brothers and sisters in Christ and have fellowship and encourage one another and build one another up, and you'll say, the kingdom is wonderful, right? That's true. They're both true. And so Jesus out in the countryside fed thousands of people, and he gave them a glimpse, right? Gave them a little vision. And sometimes we ourselves get that vision. And we get that vision now and again to remind us that there is a kingdom to come. What's that kingdom like? Read your New Testament, looking at the presence of Jesus, where he goes, and how it's like for the people around him. And then you discover that in the kingdom of God is no death, and is no sickness, and is no hunger, right? That's the kingdom of God. Then, forever, now for little glimpses. In the name of Jesus, amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.